Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the Air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, program 352 in the series. It's January 12th. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl. What's up?
I have my favorite classic radio show of all time to start things off.
Very self-serving here, Boston Blackie, but
Boston,
it's not just for you.
Blackie.
It's for everyone.
I love detective.
Gotta share it.
I love detective shows. Then Father Knows Best with Robert Young. Yes, it was a radio series before it was a TV series. And then Murder at Midnight, a good scary radio show, is our third program. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride, so we're going to play our Cat's Pride game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Who is the celebrity?
The celebrity is Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He's kind of creepy himself.
He certainly is.
Yeah, all right.
He's portrayed that way anyhow.
I mean, he's probably not creepy in real life, but he plays creepy people in the movies. All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200. What's the prize?
We're going to give away the highly coveted desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers.
All right, call now, 312-981-7200, which caller?
We're going to go with caller 7.
All right, we'll play the game live on the air right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We have a Bob on the line. Hey, Bob.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, I've been better, but I don't remember when.
Well, we'll try to make you better with a little fun here.
Yeah, great. Thank
you. Good, good. We've got Christopher Walken is a celebrity. We've got three statements. Carl is an excellent lifeline. He's very good at this game, so we'll see how it goes.
I stink at this game, Bob.
We'll make it.
All right, you guys, here we go. Christopher Walken has an asteroid named after him. Is that real or ridiculous?
An asteroid?
An asteroid.
I don't think so. No.
No? I say,
I don't.
No, you say ridiculous?
Yeah.
I say that's real.
It's
really?
Ridiculous.
Oh, man.
You are absolutely.
So this is for you, Bob. Oh, wait.
No,
wait.
Carl.
Hang on.
Yeah. He's a little slow with the sound effects,
and
but
this
he's
is
learning.
For me. Told you I stink at this game.
Wah, wah. Okay, number two. One of his eyes is blue and the other one is hazel. Mm. Is that real or ridiculous,
Jane
Bob?
Seymour does. Jane Seymour.
Well, I don't know believe that. I've got one that's brown and one that's blue, so I'll say yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I say ridiculous.
It's real. Bob, I warned you.
Here's
I warned
for me.
You. But he's getting really good at the sound effects, so that's good. Okay, number three. At age 15, he worked in the circus as a lion tamer. Is that real or ridiculous?
Lord. I would say ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It's real.
What?
Carl, it's so real. Do you know what, Bob? You got two right. Carl got nothing.
I stink.
But I told you he's great at this game. But the good news is, Bob, you're a winner, and we had a good laugh. You've won the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-minute men. You can give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. You're going to love your weather station, and we loved playing the game with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Take care. It's
way
great
to go,
to hear
Bob.
From you.
Thank you. All right, he's a big winner, and I stink at this
game.
You
know, you'd think you'd get one right just if you just said nothing.
I have a 50-50 chance.
That's
and
what
I get
I'm
all
saying.
Three of them.
All right, you've got two more tries right. yet this show.
Well, it's time. Well, you know what? It's time for Boston Blackie.
That's a winner right there.
Boston Blackie is my favorite detective. I just love this series. It was originally created by Jack Boyle. He was actually in jail, this guy, this writer, when he created the character of Boston Blackie. He was serving time in San Quentin.
Wow.
And he had time on his hands.
So he figured,
hey, you know what? I'll create this criminal master thief who turns good guy, you know, because Boston Blackie was a criminal and he was arrested and then he was rehabilitated and turned to kind of an amateur detective status. Now, he worked with the police, but they were always kind of thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe he did the crime. So they would follow him around, and Boston Blackie would have to clear his name all the time. Good stuff. And Chester Morris did a great job, played him in 14 films for Columbia Pictures. And then Chester Morris played the role for one summer season on radio in 1944. But then in 1945, they syndicated the series with Dick Calmar, who was married to Dorothy Kilgallen. Dick Calmar was Boston Blackie in like 200 episodes. There's a lot of it. I have all of them, all the episodes. And we're going to play an episode for you right now from February 18th, 1947. It's called 7 Years Bad Luck for Florence Wells. Here's Dick Calmar in part one of Boston Blackie.
So you think you're going to keep Tom away from me, do you, Barbara?
Yes, I do, Florence. Or am I supposed to call you Miss Wells because you're the star of the show?
You should be glad I'm a star. I'm the kind of star who packs the house. Or you'd be just another chorus girl looking for work.
I'll be a star myself someday.
What are you going to use for talent?
You were a chorus girl once, remember?
I don't like remembering, so don't get me started, Barbara. But you remember something. Tom belongs to me and me alone.
Tom loves me, not you.
Loves you? Don't make me laugh.
But he does. He told me so.
Oh, you're not that naive. You couldn't be. What makes you think he can see anything in you when he compares you with me? Why, next to me, you're practically a schoolgirl.
I still say Tom is in love with me, and he's going to marry me.
Well, that isn't what he told me on the phone last night.
Hmm? Tom didn't call you last night. He wasn't even in town. And he isn't in town now.
Oh, haven't you ever heard of the long-distance telephone?
He called you long-distance?
And talked to me for 30 beautiful minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you heard from him, did you?
No. And I don't think you did, either.
Are you calling me a liar?
I'll put that bowl down, Florence. If you hit me,
I'll hit you, all right? No!
The mirror. You've broken that mirror.
Yes, I have, haven't I? And it's your mirror. That means 7 years bad luck.
Yes, it does. But it won't be for me.
And now meet Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Oh, hello, Mary. This is Blackie. Did I wake you up?
Not quite, Blackie. I was just taking a nap.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I wanted to do was to tell you that I got 2 tickets for the theater tonight.
Oh, I'll be ready in 10 minutes.
Take it easy. It's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Excuse me, Blackie.
Hey, who's this?
This is Elsie on the switchboard downstairs.
Oh, Elsie. Well, look, you cut me off. I was talking to
Miss Elsie. Yeah, I know. I'm holding that call, Blackie, but there's a woman on the phone who wants to speak to you. She says it's urgent. She sounds like she means it. That's why I cut in.
Oh, all right. Well, explain to Miss Wesley and have her hold on a minute. I'll take the other call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, miss. Here's your party.
Boston Blackie? Oh, this is serious. I'm Florence Wells.
What's so serious about that? Hey, are you Florence Wells, the musical comedy star?
Yes, and I need your help.
You've done all right without help, Miss Wells. I hear your show's a hit.
Yes, it is, but Blackie, I didn't call up to talk about my show or myself. I have to see you. I'm in desperate trouble. I'm afraid something's going to happen to me soon, maybe tonight. You've got to see me in my dressing room this evening before I go on.
You sound as if you're on a level, Miss Wells.
Yes, I am. Will you be here tonight? Curtain time is 8:30, but I'd like to see you no later than 7:30. Please. Please be there, Blackie. It's important.
7:30? All right, I'll be there, Miss Wells.
Thank you, Blackie. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes, Blackie.
Did Miss Wesley hold the line?
Yes, she did. Here she is.
Thanks. Hello, Mary. I'm sorry about the interruption.
Well, that's all right, inasmuch as there's nothing I can do about it now, anyway.
Mary, we're not going to the theater tonight.
We're not going? Why not?
Well, our conversation was interrupted by Florence Wells.
Florence Wells, the musical comedy star? I don't like her.
I've got to meet her in a dressing room at 7:30 tonight.
You are? Well, I definitely don't like that.
Where's Miss Wells? Has anybody heard from Florence Wells? It's 7:30. Why isn't she here? Joe!
Yes, Mr. Brown?
Don't move away from that door. The minute Florence Wells comes in, you let me know. I want to talk to her.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Girls, boys too, let's get on stage and check costumes, makeup. Billy, let's have full overhead lights back here. Joe, don't you forget, the minute Florence Wells comes in.
Yes, I know, Mr. Brown. You want to talk to her right away? Okay, okay. Hey, you, where do you think you're going?
I don't think I know where I'm going. I'm Boston Blackie. I'm supposed to see Florence Wells at 7:30. She sent for me.
Well, I wish somebody'd send for her. She isn't here.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well, maybe she left a message for me. Whom would I ask?
Ask Ella, Miss Wells' maid. She's in Miss Wells' dressing room. That first door there.
Thanks.
Don't know what you're thanking me for. I didn't do anything for you.
Is Miss Wells...
No, Miss Wells ain't here. She ain't... Excuse me, I thought you were somebody else.
I'm Boston Blackie. I have an appointment to meet Miss Wells here at 7:30. I thought maybe she'd left a message for me or something. She said it was awfully important for me to see her.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blackie, but she didn't leave no message for anybody.
No message, huh? Well, I'll wait around for a little while outside. Thanks.
You're welcome.
No message?
No, no message.
Well, wait a little while. She's bound to show up by curtain time anyway.
Well, I hope so.
Good evening.
Miss Wells, everybody's been looking for you.
Oh, sorry, Joe. I was delayed.
Well, Mr. Brown wants to see you right away. He wants to talk to you.
Oh, don't tell him I'm here. I don't want to talk to him.
I take it you want to talk to me, Miss Wells.
Oh, who are you?
Boston Blackie. You sent for me, remember?
Oh, yes, but you'll have to wait until after I change into my costume. I won't be long. Stick around, will you?
Well, yes, of course.
Just
well,
stick around.
Look.
Ella, do you have my costume ready?
No, Miss Wells, I'm sorry.
You fool, what do you mean? No, what's the matter with you? Don't you know that?
Very pleasant young lady, but I suppose you have to make excuses for people like Miss Wells.
You make the excuses if you want to. I'll make room for them. I sure don't like to get in their way.
Personally, I prefer the stay-at-home type myself. But there's something interesting about people
Ella,
in show business. They
stop dawdling and get me my dress if you want to look for another job.
Interesting, huh?
That'll be all I can for you.
From a distance, pal, from a distance.
What happens to some people when they get to the top gets me. Now, you take that girl Barbara, for instance.
Barbara? Who's she?
Girl in the chorus. Ah, there she is. That pretty brunette at the top of the landing.
Okay, I'll...
She's probably going out for some coffee. Now, there's as sweet a girl as you ever want to know.
Yes, she is pretty. And, want to know is right.
Now, yes. But I'm willing to bet anything that if she gets to the top of the heap, she'll be just as mean and hard to get along with as this Florence Wells.
Oh, I don't know about that. There are all kinds of people in the world. Maybe this kid...
Oh, that must be Miss Wells. Well, guess I'll be going.
It's not Miss Wells. It's her maid, Ella.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Miss Wells. I'll get it right away. Right away.
What'd she say?
I think it was something about trouble.
Well, she ought to know a lot about trouble. She works for a gal who's really trouble.
Ah, will you quit your bawling, Barbara? You're making me sorry I ever let you come over here.
But, Tom, I'm so frightened. I go on stage in a half hour, but I had to run out and see you. Florence talked to me this afternoon. She was terribly excited.
Oh, what's talk? Talk never hurt nobody. Now, look, cheer up. You got to go on stage pretty soon.
Tom, listen to me. We're going to stop seeing each other.
We are not. Now, come on, snap out of it, baby. This is no way to act when I just got back to town. I thought you were glad to see me.
I am glad, Tom, because it means we can break off right now before something horrible happens.
What do you mean before something happens? What's going to happen?
I don't know. All I know is Florence will do something awful if I don't give you up. So I'm giving you up, Tom.
What?
Please, please don't try to see me anymore. Let Florence have you if she wants you. It's the only way.
Now, look, baby, Florence doesn't mean anything to me.
Then why did you call her last night?
To wish her luck in the show. That's all. I do publicity for her. Remember, I like the dame, but that's all. I just like her. And not too much at that.
Tom, you don't understand. She's in love with you.
So what? I'm in love with you, baby. Just you.
But Florence will...
Listen, will you? That dame is out of my life. So skip what she said to you. Huh, baby?
I've quit her, now you quit crying.
Listen, Joe, I'm getting tired of waiting. How long before curtain time does Miss Wells come out of her dressing room?
It'll be any minute now, Blackie. Curtain goes up in 8 minutes.
That's fine, but I've been waiting for her for more than 50 minutes.
Well, it's like I told you. These big stars don't care about anybody.
Well, I'm getting so I don't care much what she wants to talk to me about. Can't be very important if she's waiting.
Hey, you! Yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir?
Faraday!
Blackie, what are you doing here?
Oh, nothing that can be of any interest to you. I'm waiting for Florence Wells to come out of her dressing room so I can talk to her.
Well, you're going to have a long wait.
Oh, I don't know. It's 8 minutes of curtain time, and she has to make the curtain.
She isn't making anything anymore but headlines, Blackie. I just found a dead body eight blocks down the street.
What? Miss Wells is dead?
Buried. I'm Inspector Faraday of the police. I want to see the dead woman's dressing room.
Sure. Right this way, sir.
Well, hey, wait a minute. This is impossible, Faraday. Florence Wells went into that room right there 50 minutes ago, and she hasn't come out of it.
Yes, she has. She's gone down the street and been murdered. And she isn't coming out of that.
Now, look, wait a minute. I'm serious, Faraday. Joe and I both saw her go in. And we've been standing right here ever since, and Florence Wells didn't leave her dressing room.
That's right, Inspector.
Then whose body did I find in that vacant lot down the street?
I don't know, but it wasn't Florence Wells. She's in her dressing room right there.
Are you on the level, Blackie?
So help me.
Look, I'm the one who's going to need help. If Florence Wells is in her dressing room, I've got an unidentified body.
Come on, Joe. Let's prove to Faraday that Miss Wells is in her dressing room.
Yes, sir. It's this door right here.
Faraday, how do you know that body you found was Florence Wells?
Because there were calling cards in her bag, and I recognized her from her picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't believe everything you read or see, pal. Here's Miss Wells. Big... Hey, there's nobody in here.
I told you she couldn't be. She's on her way to the mall.
And I'm on my way to the nut house. Florence Wells didn't leave this room once she came into it.
She might have. Through that window up there.
That's it. That's how she got out.
And then came back in and locked the window. Look at it, Faraday. It's locked and from the inside.
Then she got out of here some other way. Is there a door?
Only the one that we just came through. And Joe and I were standing where we could watch that all the time.
Maybe there's a trap door. I've heard of things like that.
Good idea. Push back the rug there.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you'll find, too.
Never mind. I've already found it. Solid floor.
Faraday, I hate to confuse you, but there's no possible way for Miss Wells to leave this room except through that door.
But she did. She must have. She got out of this room, walked down the street 8 blocks, and got herself killed.
You sure that was Florence Wells?
Positive. I knew her from the identification in her purse and by her pictures. That was Florence Wells, all right.
If that was Florence Wells, all right, she did get out of this room. But we don't know how she got out, and that's not all right.
How the heck did that Florence Wells get out of that room, Lisa? Oh,
we're going to find out.
We will find out. First, these words. All right, Boston Blackie, the conclusion is coming up after news. After that, it is Father Knows Best. And then after that, Murder at Midnight. There'll also be some, probably some funny banter between Lisa and me. We'll come up with some funny jokes.
Well, you're pretty funny, Carl. It's your jokes. I think they're really funny.
My jokes are...
They're really funny.
I'm telling you, Zany's the owner of Zany's. He's out there.
He's going to be calling you.
He's out there. He's listening to me. He's going to call me one of these days.
He's gathering up his money until he's got enough to offer you.
It's sort of like an audition. I'm auditioning for him, you know? He's listening.
Every Saturday and Sunday. You just keep working at it.
All right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We did have 50 people sign up on our promotion last week. You know, the
what
radio.
What promotion are we talking
about?
All
right, Classic Radio Club. 50 people signed up. They used the promo code radio at checkout and signed up for $1 their very first month.
And that is our big promo going on right now.
I thought we'd try it again.
Because it's a lot of fun and we know that you would enjoy classic radio at home. So we're going to do it again. We're going to again look for the first 50 people. And when we find them, they will get this great deal. So here's the story. Go to classicradioclub.com and you have two options. You can choose the digital download option, and this is
Instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah, 10 right? shows. 10 so of the get, greatest classic
radio shows.
You
get 10 great shows instantly to your computer for only $1, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's 10 right? cents a show.
Yeah, that Gosh, was some good math there, Carl. Show.
Plus liner notes, they come via PDF.
So that's a great way to go.
And it's got Abbott and Costello's Who's On First, Suspense, Jack Benny, yeah, Gunsmoke.
We well, we
great
know
stuff.
We're going to send you the best of the best. The other option is to get it via CD. So you can get the same 10 shows on 5 CDs sent to your door. All you pay is $1 plus the shipping and handling. And then you have these great CDs to your door. Again, how much is it? $1 plus shipping and handling, your choice. The way to do it is to go to classicradioclub.com and enter the promo code radio at checkout. That is the only way that we can give you this great deal. So
yeah,
number
you know
one,
what'll happen if you don't put radio,
you
it
don't
will
get the
not,
great
not
deal.
Not
so there's two things
price.
That you need to remember. Number one, enter code radio at promo code. And number two, you've got to go to classicradioclub.com and be one of the first 50 people to sign up.
Yeah.
We can only offer that to 50 people. We did it last weekend. It was a success. We're going to try it again tonight.
Yeah. Go there now to classicradioclub.com. But right now, let's listen to the conclusion to Boston Blackie.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Musical comedy star Florence Wells tells young and frightened Barbara Lane that she had better give up her boyfriend, Tom, or suffer the consequences. Later, Florence phones Blackie and says she has to see him backstage at her theater at 7:30. Blackie is there before the star arrives, but she goes into her dressing room without telling Blackie why she wanted to see him. Florence apparently does not leave her dressing room by door, window, or hidden exit, but 15 minutes later, she is found dead, 8 blocks away from the theater. As we return to our story, it's the next day. And Blackie and his friend, Mary Wesley, are in the dead star's dressing room.
This dressing room was where Miss Wells was last seen alive, I guess, isn't it, Blackie?
Yes, Mary, by a maid, Ella. And now Ella's disappeared.
Good heavens. She hasn't been murdered, too, I hope.
I certainly hope not.
Maybe she knows who killed Miss Wells and she's gone into hiding.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'd like to find her. I certainly can't find anything around here.
But I thought you and the police had already checked this room for ways Miss Wells could have gotten out.
We checked it from top to bottom and didn't find anything. But I thought checking it again might do some good.
No sign of a secret door anywhere, is
there? No sliding doors or traps, Mary. This is just a plain, ordinary dressing room. Come on, Mary. Let's go outside.
All right.
Oh, there's the manager. Maybe he can help me. Oh, Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown!
Please. Please, no more questions. I have enough trouble putting on a show with an understudy without answering questions.
Well, look, don't you know anything about Miss Wells? Who her friends were, where she spent her time?
All I know about Miss Wells is that she was the star of this show, and now I have a show without a star. Mm.
Oh, excuse me, Mary. Mr. Brown, Miss Wesley.
Hello. How do you do, Miss Wesley? You'll have to excuse
me. Wait a minute,
me.
Mr. Got... Brown. Wait a minute. Is there anyone in the show who might tell me something about Miss Wells?
Well, yes. There's Barbara. She's the girl in the chorus. They knew each other, I think. But the chorus is on the stage now. We're rehearsing the entire cast with the understudy.
Well, can't you get her off the stage?
No, I can't do a thing like
look,
that.
Look, if you'll let me ask her a few questions, I'll stop asking you questions.
Well, all right. Joe?
Yeah?
Ask Barbara to come in here, will you?
Okay.
I hope pulling a girl out of the line won't throw the understudy.
Oh, no, Miss Wesley. They're trained to expect anything.
Oh, here she comes.
What's the matter, Mr. Brown? Was I doing something wrong?
No, Barbara, no. This is Boston Blackie. He wants to talk to you.
Barbara, Lane is your last name, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Miss Lane, Miss Wesley.
How do you do, Miss Lane?
Miss Lane, what do you know about Florence Wells?
Florence Wells? Nothing.
No? How long have you known her?
Not long. I've been in town only a few months. The show wasn't cast until 2 months ago.
In other words, Blackie, she's known Florence Wells only 2 months.
I figured that out for myself. You're not a local girl, Miss Lane. Where are you from?
A place no one ever heard of, Barling, Kansas. Just a little town.
Barling, Kansas, huh? A little town. I wonder if I can get a little information out of it.
Look, Miss Lane, you might as well start talking, because I'm going to keep you right here in my office till you do.
But I can't tell you anything, Inspector Faraday. I couldn't tell Blackie anything, and I can't tell you.
Why don't you leave her alone, Inspector?
Tom, please.
Look, Johnson, Any more interference from you, I'll have you thrown out of here. Miss Lane, do you deny that Miss Wells was in your apartment yesterday and had an argument with you?
No, I don't deny it.
How'd you find out about that, Inspector?
The police find out about everything sooner or later, Johnson. Now, someone in Miss Lane's apartment building heard the argument and saw Miss Wells leave. What was that argument about, Miss Lane?
I'd rather not say.
You'd better say.
Go ahead, Barbara. It's all right.
Well, for the first time in this case, someone's being helpful. What were you two arguing about, Miss Lane?
About Tom here. She wanted to take him away from me.
Oh.
She didn't kill Florence Wells, I tell you.
You let me decide that, Johnson. I don't know much about this case. Nobody does. Nobody knows who killed her, why she was 8 blocks from the theater just before curtain time. Nobody knows how she got out of her dressing room without being seen. But I know something, Miss Lane. I know you're my murder suspect, number one.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, hello. Hello, I hear you. Who's this calling?
Oh, this is Boston Blackie calling from New York. Is this the office of the Balling, Kansas Enterprise?
Yes, yes, this is the office of the Enterprise. This is the editor speaking. Clem Aiken's the name.
Oh, good. Look, Mr. Aiken, can you tell me anything about Barbara Lane? She's a chorus girl on a musical comedy here.
Oh, Barbara. Now you're talking about the sweetest and prettiest girl in Bowling County.
You know her then?
Know her? Why, I remember where she was born. Was in that old frame house in the corner of the...
Oh, hey. Now, look, never mind where she was born. Can you tell me anything about her that, well, you know, well, the average person doesn't know?
Don't know what you mean, son. Say, she isn't in trouble, is she?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, I hope not. Lane family has had enough of it with Barbara's sister.
Barbara's sister? How did she cause trouble?
Murdered her husband. That's what she did. Nice young fellow from over in South Street.
I see.
No, you don't see it all because the jury let her off. Just couldn't send a pair of pretty limbs and fluttery eyes to jail, I guess.
Well, then Barbara's sister didn't really kill her husband.
Lots of folks here say she did. Me, I ain't saying. Like the Lane family, even her. Yep, even like Florence.
Barbara's sister's name is Florence?
Yep. She disappeared right after the jury let her off. Nobody's heard from her since.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she's dead. Too bad she went wrong. She had a nice singing voice and could have been a big star on the radio.
Was she a blonde, tall, blue eyes?
Yep, that's Florence. Know her?
I think I do.
Funny you should be asked about Barbara Lane and I get to tell you about her sister.
Why?
Well, there was a young fella here a few days ago. Big youngster with heavy head of black hair. Good looking, too. Except for a nasty scar on his chin. He was here asking about Barbara and was sort of surprised to find out she had a sister.
Well, I am, too. And I may have a surprise for you. I think I know where Florence Lane has been all this time.
You do? Where?
On the stage under the name of Florence Wells. But she's dead now. Murdered.
Murdered? Well, that's news. I'm going to have to get that on page one of next week's Enterprise. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mary, I think we have something.
Well, from the length of that conversation, I judge you have a lot of something.
I think I know why Barbara Lane wouldn't tell us anything about Florence Wells. They're sisters. And I think Florence was killed by someone who was trying to blackmail her.
Oh, Blackie, what sense does that make? In that case, the blackmailer should have been killed, not Miss Wells.
Well, the blackmailer may have known Florence Wells was going to try to kill him, so he beat her to it.
Well, that's fine. You think you know why she was killed, but you still don't know who killed her or how she got out of her dressing room.
I have ideas on that subject, too. Let's get hold of Faraday and go down to the theater. I think I can get out of Florence Wells' dressing room the same way she did.
Blackie, is getting me down to this theater another of your crazy schemes to waste a lot of my time? I'm trying to find the murderer of Florence Wells.
Look, Faraday, stop calling her Florence Wells. Barbara Lane backed up my theory that Florence was really her sister, didn't she?
All right. Florence Lane.
That's better. Mary, do me a favor, will you?
Sure.
Right outside the stage door, there's a shoeshine boy. Go out there and bring him in, will you?
All right.
Blackie, this is no time to get your shoeshine.
No? Well, you bet, Faraday. First, I'm going to show you how Florence Wells, actually Florence Lane, you know now, got out of a dressing room without being seen.
You can't do it.
Give me just 3.5 minutes inside that dressing room, get me that shoeshine boy, and I'll show you how to polish off this case.
Well, Miss Wesley, Blackie's been in that dressing room 2.5 minutes now.
Then he has a whole minute to go, Inspector Faraday.
A minute to go? But where? He's not going to get out of that dressing room.
No, well, just you wait and see.
See, he couldn't do it. This must be Blackie now.
Oh, no, that's not Blackie. That's the shoeshine boy.
Hey, just 30 seconds left.
Well, please, let's give him every second he asks for.
I'd like to give him 20 years for wasting my time like this. He's not going to get out of that dressing room. It's impossible.
The murdered girl got out of it.
Yeah, she did. I bet she's sorry.
All right, how much more time?
10 seconds.
Well, I guess we might as well start for the door.
And we're going to open it, too. Right on the dot of 3.5 minutes, which is now. Well, Blackie, I told you, you...
Inspector Faraday, there is nobody in here.
There's got to be. He's hiding.
That's right, Faraday, right behind you, out here in the hall.
Blackie,
how did you get out there?
I walked out, just the way Florence Lane did. How do I look in blackface?
Oh, good heavens, that wasn't the shoeshine boy we saw walking out of here. That was you, wasn't it?
Then where's the shoeshine boy? How did he get out of here?
The way Florence Lane's maid Ella got out of here. I boosted him through that window there and then locked it from the inside.
Yeah?
Before that, we'd switched clothes and I blacked up and then walked out here. Just as Florence Lane walked out as the maid. Simple, isn't it?
It is not. Why would that actress go to all that trouble to sneak out of here to get killed?
She didn't expect to be killed. Look, Faraday. You've told me about a fellow named Tom Johnson. I want to see what he looks like.
Why?
Because if he looks the way I think he looks, the looks of this case will be a lot better. Nice head of hay out there, Johnson, but where'd you get that nasty scar on your chin there?
None of that, Blackie. I got it in a sledding accident when I was a kid. What's it to you?
It's nothing to me. But I'll tell you what it is to you. A very definite means of identification and proof, too.
Proof? Proof of what?
Proof that you were in Barking, Kansas, the day before yesterday, talking to Clem Aiken, the editor of the Barling Enterprise.
Oh?
And you were asking him questions about Barbara Lane, and don't deny it, Johnson.
No, I won't deny it. I had a reason to ask questions about her. I was going to marry her. I wanted to find out about her childhood and what she did in her hometown.
But you also found out that Florence Wells and Barbara Lane were sisters, didn't you?
Yeah, so what if I did?
I'll tell you what. What you found out about Florence was worth a lot of money to you. Musical comedy stars don't like to be known as suspected murderesses.
Oh, you think I was going to blackmail her, do you? Well, I wasn't. I even told her I wasn't.
Told her when?
I phoned her from Barling after the old editor told me about it. She got sore, but I told her she needn't worry about it. I was going to keep it under my hat.
Mm-hmm. Then what gave her the idea to kill you?
What makes you think she was going to kill me?
There's only one reason Florence Wells went to so much trouble to get out of a dressing room without being seen. There's only one reason she wanted me outside her dressing room when she went out to meet you. She was going to kill you, and she wanted me as an alibi.
Okay. You're right, Blackie. That's just the way it was, but it was self-defense. She phoned me and told me to meet her on the corner by a vacant lot. She said she wanted to talk to me.
And when she met you, she pulled a gun on you, didn't she?
Yeah. She said she didn't trust me with what I knew about her and wouldn't stand for blackmail. And when she came at me with that gun, I could tell she meant business.
So you pulled a gun on her and shot her?
No. I grabbed the gun. I was just trying to take it away from her. And then all of a sudden it went off. I was lucky there was nobody around. I carted it to a lot, took the gun, and beat it back to my apartment in time to see Barbara there.
You have the gun now?
Well, you think I'm nuts? I tossed it in the river.
In the river, huh? Well, Tom, I've got news for you. You're going up the river. Ella, nobody's going to hurt you. You're not in police headquarters to be arrested. You were Florence Wells' maid.
Yes, sir. But I didn't do anything wrong. Just what Miss Wells told me to do. I let her boost me out of the window after I gave her my maid's uniform, and then I disappeared, just like she paid me to.
Well, Faraday, that does it. Florence Wells left her dressing room in blackface.
But if she was in blackface when she left her dressing room, why wasn't she still in blackface when she was killed?
She obviously stopped outside the theater and took the makeup off.
That's right, too, Mr. Inspector.
Why didn't you come and tell us all this right away, Ella?
Because when I hear she's dead, I get scared to talk.
Well, thanks, Ella. Thanks for backing me up. Satisfied now, Faraday, how Florence got out and that Tom Johnson killed her?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, Tom Johnson was a press agent. He was paid to get Florence Wells' name in the papers. He got it in all right, in the obituary column.
That is Boston Blackie going back to a broadcast date of February 18th, 1947. 7 years bad luck for Florence Wells, starring Dick Calmar along with Leslie Woods as Mary Wesley on there, and Maurice Tarplin as Inspector Faraday, as heard on Mutual. Hope you enjoyed Boston Blackie. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. There's a Woodman's commercial. And you know what, Lisa? We have a great promotion going on with Woodman's. All you have to do is shop at Woodman's, then take your smartphone or any phone that has a camera on it.
Do you have to use a phone?
Well, most people use a phone now for their camera. And just take a picture of your Woodman's receipt and then email that to me at woodmanswgn@gmail.com. And I will then send you 12 classic radio shows via digital download. That's a special thank you for shopping at Woodman's.
And we're going to change those out each month. So this month will be different than next month. So
that's
keep shopping
true.
At Woodman's and keep getting free downloads.
Free classic radio shows. And the Woodman's in Illinois are in Buffalo Grove, Carpentersville, North Aurora, and Rockford. Although there are 12 stores in Wisconsin, and they're building more. And they've been around since 1919. They're employee-owned. They're the largest grocery selection in the state, and they have low prices in every aisle every day. I was talking to my brother today. I was driving him to the airport, and he said, you know, I shop at Woodman's, he said, and he cannot believe how big a Woodman's is. Like, he said, there's like five aisles just for bread. Just bread. So
there's
every kind of
a
bread.
Lot of choices.
Every kind of bread you can imagine. There's like five aisles of bread.
I like bread.
You know, and I know you do. But you, if you can't find it at Woodman's, it doesn't exist. Okay? So you got to check out Woodman's. It's great. You have one not too far from you, Lisa.
Yeah, I have. I haven't been there. It's in Buffalo Grove, but I really should.
All right. Now,
check
the next time you shop, go to Woodman's.
Yeah, I
and
really
you know
should.
What? Send me in your receipt. I'll send you 12 classic
radio
shows.
Oh, don't worry. I will.
All you have to do is send it to Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. Any Woodman's receipt. So do shop at Woodman's. We love Woodman's. They have everything. Everything, Lisa.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. All right. It's 12:07 in the morning. By the way, our producer is Shantae Garth. She's amazing. We love her. She's terrific. And it is time for, let's see, we're going to play our game, right?
We are. It's Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Carl, you're not doing too well. See how you, if you could do a little bit better this hour.
I'll try. We also have Father Knows Best in this hour.
Sure do.
And then hour three, Murder at Midnight. So lots more classic radio coming your way, but let's play our game. All right, all right. Who's the celebrity?
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And played Chaplin. Remember he played Charlie Chaplin?
Of course.
He's great in
He's great in everything.
I know, true.
I like him.
He's also Iron Man.
Prize is a never measure.
I want a never measure.
I know, and I don't share well.
Gosh.
I know.
Lisa has way more clout than me. She has a never measure.
I do, but how can I give it away if I've never tried it? I mean, I really should know how easy it is to center and level all of
your decorations. But Dan, your husband uses it, doesn't he?
Well, we use it together. Okay. You know, we're really close like that. We do everything together.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, so what caller would you like?
We're going to go with caller 5.
All right, call now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air with us right after these words. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
Stephanie on the phone. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Steph.
How are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you a fan of Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's not so bad to look at either. I'm just saying.
No. Not at all.
Carl's like, no. Oh, no. All right. Let's see what we can do here. Carl is an excellent lifeline. We'll see if he can be helpful.
You know what
for
I love
you.
The most about Robert Downey Jr.? He's about my height.
Oh, well, he looks much taller on TV.
He's not. He's about my height.
But he looks taller. All right. Number one, he survived a shark attack during an underwater expedition. Is that real or ridiculous?
I would say real.
Really? I've been wrong on every single one of these. I'm gonna disagree with you. I'm going to say it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Ah.
Wow. That's the first one he's gotten right
on. This is for you,
night.
Stephanie. And this is for me.
All right, let's try again.
Well, I redeemed myself. I got one right.
Not yet. It's going to take a little longer than that. All right. His first on-screen appearance was on the TV show Romper Room. Is that real or ridiculous?
I am going to say I'll go with real again.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Should I switch?
You should switch.
You should switch.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
Now you got it. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
So you got it.
We both
all
got
good.
That one.
All right. He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live in 1985.
Hold on. 1 second. Honey, I'm on the phone. My husband didn't know I was on the phone, you guys.
It's
I'm
okay.
I'm calling Lisa.
It's just hey, Lisa. Don't worry about it.
Tell him we said hi.
Say the question again. I'm sorry.
No problem. He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live, the 1985 season. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I'm sure of that.
I'm so sorry
what?
To inform
oh, no.
you.
No way.
That is absolutely real. Go do your
oh,
homework.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
but you know what?
He was a cast member on
yeah.
Saturday Night Live?
He was.
Really?
1985. Check it out. I couldn't make this stuff up.
I don't know what?
Steph. Okay, Carl doesn't believe me. Stephanie, you are a big winner, and you have won the prize that Carl is begging for. It is a never measure. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. No need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. Veteran owned, made in the USA. Check it out at nevermeasure.com. But we're going to send you one right away. So thank
well,
you for
thank
playing.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
you
for
did
calling.
Great,
it was
Stephanie.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you guys
All
so
right.
much. Thank you.
We You're welcome.
Take care. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Take care. She did great.
Yeah, and you
she
did.
Got 2 out of 3.
You got one right.
I got one.
We're You're not, doing well.
Did I get only one?
Did you only get one?
I think I got two.
You got
right.
two.
Yeah. All right. So I missed 4 and got 2 right.
That's right. So
not so great.
You're doing
my
well.
Odds in Vegas would not be that.
Well,
that.
For you, it's good.
All right. Well, it's time now for Father Knows Best. And you know, when people hear that, you know, when they when you say Father Knows Best, the first thing you think about is the television show.
No, but we know better.
No, it started on radio. And Robert Young did play this part on radio, came to radio in 1949. The show was set in the Midwest. Robert Young was a general insurance agent, Jim Anderson. He had a wife named Margaret, daughters Betty and Kathy. His son was Bud, just like the television show. But when it made the transition to television in 1954, the only cast member that came over to TV was Robert Young. They yeah. recast everybody else. But it did well both on radio and TV. We have a broadcast for you now from December 14th, 1950. Father becomes ill on this show. Here's part one now of Father Knows Best.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons, brought to you by America's favorite coffee. Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. Beyond the last horizon's rim, beyond adventure's farthest quest, somewhere they rise serene and dim, the happy, happy hills of rest. Well, rise they may, these restful hills, but there's one thing on which you can depend. They have nothing to do with Springfield or the white frame house on Maple Street. When it comes to rest, the Andersons live in a world apart, a world in which sanity itself sometimes hangs by a slender thread. Like this.
Jim. Jim.
What? What's the matter?
This is the fourth and last time. Are you or are you not going to get out of bed?
I don't know. What time is it?
9 o'clock.
It is, huh?
It certainly is.
To tell you the truth, I don't feel so hot.
Why, Jim, what is it?
Why, I feel kind of achy all over.
Oh, darling, if you'd only said something.
How could I say anything? I was asleep.
I'd better call Dr. Simmons.
Leave Dr. Simmons alone.
But if you don't feel well...
I don't need him, Margaret. I'm coming down with a little cold, and I don't need a doctor to tell me to stay in bed and keep warm.
Jim...
I'll do it myself and send him a bill.
Jim, you're sure there's nothing really wrong with you?
Of course I'm sure. Outside of feeling miserable, I feel fine.
Oh, dear.
Now what?
The girls are coming over this afternoon to play bridge.
Honey, just pretend I'm not even here and we'll all be happy.
Well, how about some breakfast?
No, I couldn't eat a thing. I just want to lie here and rest.
But if you don't eat?
Rest.
All right, Jim, if you're going to be stubborn.
I'm not being stubborn. But I'm the one who doesn't feel well.
I won't be out of this room for 2 minutes before you'll think of something you want.
I want to rest.
Very well. I'll be downstairs if you need me.
Yes, dear. Thank you very much. I want to rest, that's all. I'm not asking any special favors. I just want everybody to leave me alone. That's what I want. Margaret! Margaret!
Yes, Jim?
Is there any coffee?
If there isn't, I can fix some.
Well, that'll be fine, honey. Just a little peace and quiet. That's all I want. Take it easy over the weekend, and Monday I'll be a new man. The way I feel now, I don't even care who the new man is.
I didn't
get a little rest.
That's the
only way to look cold.
It was right here on my desk.
Well, then that's where it ought to be.
Well, it would be if you hadn't taken it.
I didn't either take it.
You certainly did.
Bud?
I certainly didn't.
Bud!
You want me, Dad?
Yes. Come in here, please.
And don't you tell him I took it, because I didn't.
Dad, I had a glass retort for my chemistry set right on my desk, and if you're going to let her take anything she feels like taking...
I did not take it, Daddy. I didn't even see it.
Kathy.
And he has no right to say I did.
Kathy.
Either.
Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Why aren't you in school?
It's Saturday.
Oh, I would have to pick Saturday. Why don't you, go outside and play.
It's raining.
It isn't raining. It's snowing.
It's raining.
Kathy.
It's snowing.
Bud.
Well, it's rainy snow.
Look, both of you.
Father.
Oh, no, it isn't possible.
Father, look at this ad in the Herald Formals for $11.95.
Betty.
And last week they were over $20. It's the biggest bargain since we bought Alaska. We bought Alaska?
Not personally, Kathy. It's, Betty, I'm in no condition to talk about dresses.
But, Father, I'm going to a New Year's party and I don't have a thing to wear. But not a thing!
Well, you can go as the New Year.
Father.
Boy, would she make a hit.
But...
I don't get it.
It's just as well. Now, look, all of you, I'm trying to get a little rest. So will you please try to be quiet?
Don't you feel well, Father?
I feel awful.
Hey, wait a minute.
Bud, Father just told you.
You've got my measuring glass.
Betty, if that belongs to Bud...
It was on my desk, and what right has she got to go into my room and take stuff?
You see, you said I took it, and I didn't.
Kathy...
I paid for the chemistry set with my own money, and she's got no right to touch it.
Bud...
How did I know it was yours? It's just a silly old glass.
Betty...
Well, if it's so silly, why don't you leave it alone?
Stop it.
I didn't even touch it.
I said stop it. Betty, give Bud his glass.
But I'm going to wash my hair, Father, and...
Give it to him.
Jumping creepers.
Now, look, kids, when you don't feel well, your mother and I show you every consideration. We make you comfortable, read to you, bring you your meals, and we're happy to do it. Now, I'm not asking for anything like that. All I want you to do is leave me alone. That isn't too much, is it?
Of course not, Father.
Gosh, if anybody told us, we wouldn't have made a sound.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
Well, what's going on in here? A convention?
The children were just leaving, weren't you?
You bet, Dad.
Come on, Kathy.
Come on where?
We're leaving.
But I don't want to leave. I want to stay here and ask Daddy. Well, stop pulling me. Why do you always have to pull me?
Here's your coffee, dear.
Oh, thank you. Margaret, are all children that noisy?
Darling, there are only two kinds of children. Noisy ones and sick ones. Just be thankful that ours are healthy.
And they don't have to be that healthy.
I'll be downstairs if you want anything else.
I was healthy when I was a kid and I didn't drive my father into a nervous breakdown.
He said you were worse than any of ours.
Is that so? I was one of the quietest kids in Springfield. Everybody said I... Margaret! A fine thing. Starts an argument and then walks away. Just like a woman.
Dad.
Bud, I just finished telling you...
Dad, if you'd like to borrow my radio, I can hook it up in here for you.
Thank you, Bud, but I'll do fine without a radio.
I won't be using it on account of I'm going down to the playroom to invent something.
I know, Bud, but...
It won't take me a second, Dad. All I have to do is plug it in.
Just leave it, Bud. If I want it, I'll plug it in myself.
Okay, Dad. If you want anything else, just let me know.
Thank you, Bud. Thank you very much. It's just what I need, a radio. I don't feel bad enough. Whistle and chirp with Lizzie Glurp.
Are you resting, Father?
Yes, I'm resting. Like a yo-yo with St. Vitus Dance.
Poor Father. We give you a pretty bad time, don't we?
No, Betty. It's just that... What are you going to do?
I brought the pillows in from my room.
I don't want any more pillows. I don't like a lot of pillows, Betty. Please... I was perfectly all right.
There. Isn't that better?
Yes, it's fine.
Now, just close your eyes and we'll go on a long journey.
What?
I'm going to read to you.
Betty...
I want to, Father. It's the least I can do.
Betty, if you'll just...
Yes, Father?
Go ahead.
Yes, Father. We watched her breathing through the night. Her breathing soft and low. As in her breast the wave of life kept heaving to and fro. Our very hopes belied our fears. Our fears our hopes belied. We thought her dying when she slept. And sleeping when she died. At last...
Betty.
Yes, Father?
What's the name of that lovely thing?
The Deathbed by Thomas Hood. Isn't it beautiful? Can't you just see her wasting away?
How much did you say those dresses were?
$11.95.
There's a $20 bill in my wallet. Go buy a dress.
Oh, thank you, Father.
And don't rush it. See if you can't take all day.
Oh, I will, Father. You're an angel.
And bring back the change.
Yes, Father. Look out, Kathy. Well, get out of my way.
Deathbed. It's a fine way to cheer a man up.
Hello, Daddy.
Kathy, what on earth?
I brought you breakfast, Daddy.
Well, that's very nice, Kathy, but I told your mother...
I carried it up all by myself.
But I don't want any... Kathy, look out.
Mommy said...
Kathy,
that...
you... Oh, no.
Daddy!
Kathy, when they say breakfast in bed, they don't mean you dump it in.
I tripped on your slippers. You're gonna spank me.
Oh, Kathy, stop that wailing and get some of these dishes out of my lap. Orange juice and cereal and coffee. Margaret! Oh, stop it, Kathy. Margaret!
I've never seen it before. Anytime I make plans for anything. What is it, Jim?
Kathy dumped the whole breakfast in my lap.
Oh, dear.
What was that?
I don't know. It was in the basement.
Bud? It's okay, Mom. It was just an explosion.
Well, open some of the windows.
I don't have to. Half of them fell out.
Oh, dear.
What is it, Margaret?
Bud says it's all right. It was just an explosion.
The phone's ringing.
I know it's ringing. The next time anyone wants to spend the day in bed, I'm going to leave town for a month. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Gribble. I'm sorry, but Jim doesn't feel very well today. Well, yes, I know, Mr. Gribble, but he can't possibly come to the phone. He's resting.
All right, that's the first portion of Father Knows Best from December 14th, 1950, starring Robert Young. Let's take a quick break, then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Boy, it's been cold lately, huh, Lisa, out there?
In here?
No, outside. Oh. The other
no,
day,
it's not cold
you know,
in here.
You know, we've had a great winter, though, so far. I mean, yeah. Hardly any snow. Hasn't been that cold last few days. And my brother
was not great.
My brother, who's sort of like a weatherman, he's always got the weather. He always knows the weather.
He wants to be Roger.
He just left for Vegas.
Everybody wants to be Roger.
I know.
He just
Vegas?
Left, he left for Vegas.
How
for
cold is it there?
3 weeks. It's cold. It's like, well, for Vegas, it's like 60s. But he said, I'm leaving just in time. I guess it's starting to get really cold, huh? Do you know about this, Roger? It's going to get really cold.
In Vegas?
No,
or just
here,
in general?
In here.
Well, we're going to be
Chicago.
In the 20s. We're going to be seasonal.
I don't like that.
Well, so go to Vegas.
Do something about
it. So go to Vegas. What, do you want me to go
do
out?
Do something about
so
it.
You want me to, like, light a flame under the sun?
No, I want you to talk to somebody.
Who am I going to talk to? Mother Nature?
Talk to that guy, and he'll talk to this guy. And
oh, you mean
it,
you know a guy?
Yeah,
Roger doesn't know the guys.
I don't know the guys.
Obviously, he's
I don't know
not,
those guys.
He doesn't
I know,
know those
other
guys.
Guys. Yeah.
I'll see what I can do
I
for
don't
you,
like
Carl.
Cold weather. I just don't.
Well, you're living
what?
In the wrong place.
I don't
yeah,
like
Carl,
it.
I don't like it either.
So put a hat on,
mm-hmm.
put your jacket on,
mm-hmm.
put your booties on,
mm-hmm.
and stay inside.
Maybe I'll start wearing long underwear.
I thought you already were. A couple of them.
Because that's really sexy, long underwear, you know?
Well, that's not the problem. This is the long
I think
underwear.
Sexy
here.
And Carl Amari were mutually.
Long underwear is your problem.
Yeah, that's maybe. Maybe that's been my problem all
I
this time.
I think that's it. Just get rid of the long underwear and you're golden.
Gosh. My Hanes underwear. My Hanes long underwear.
Way too much information.
Yeah, really.
For sure.
I think we're.
I wear
safe.
Nothing but the best.
You were safe when you were going to Vegas, seriously.
oh, boy.
No, but really and truly, I don't like cold weather, Roger.
I thought you were going to say underwear.
Well, can we establish that fact?
Just skip the underwear altogether.
Yeah. Just
then like, I'll be cold. Then I'll even be colder.
Wrap yourself up in a Snuggie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got one of those?
No.
You need a Snuggie.
I don't have a Snuggie.
Well, oh, there are other ways to get warm at night besides a Snuggie.
Yeah, that's
well.
True. I'm going to break that glass on my MyPillow one of these years, Roger.
Yeah, I think for starters to not be cold
mm-hmm.
is actually, you know, spend some money and turn the thermostat up. In your place?
Actually, I have it up really high.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have it up at like 74.
You could pop in the bathtub.
Yeah, nice hot
nice
bath.
Nice little
yeah.
bubble bath is always pleasant.
I actually have Mr. Bubble. I have
See,
some
I
Mr.
knew
Bubble.
The powder or the liquid?
No, the liquid.
Okay.
It doesn't work that well,
ducky.
Though. It doesn't work that well. It's not. It doesn't
last very
long.
You have to pour it
long.
into the spout
it
as it's going down.
I tried it one time, and I was like, this is a rip.
Wow. Mr. Bubble is
Look
the best, Carl.
I mean, it should be a lot more bubbly, I think.
Maybe
so
you're
get a
not
more
putting
bubbly
enough in there.
Bubble bath.
I poured a lot in there. If I'm gonna do a bubble bath, you know what works better?
He poured so much in, he slipped out.
Like so, like regular
like ivory soap.
No, I use like Axe body wash, you know, and I use that, and that's way more bubbly. Than huh. Mr. Bubble.
Well, now we know that.
I mean, I'm
Roger.
Sorry if
You're
anyone out there
wow,
works
let's
for
rush
Mr.
Right out and get some.
Somebody out
you
there works
what?
For Mr. Bubble.
They should let us know because we could test it out and maybe you're using it improperly.
I'm doing something wrong.
I'm sure you are.
Wow. You think?
But I don't think we can get further away from Father Knows Best.
We didn't go there. You did.
Far as well.
Father Knows Best and Bubble Bass go together just fine.
He's kind of crabby on the show. You hear him?
He's a little cranky with the kids.
Yeah. Robert.
You know, he made that comment. They don't have to be so healthy, meaning loud.
Well, it's a different era. I mean, you know. What are you going to do? All right, let's tune it in. The conclusion now to Father Knows Best.
Great changes have taken place since last we saw the Andersons. Jim isn't feeling any better, of course, and he's done mighty little resting. But there have been changes. Well, one change anyway. You see, now it's Saturday afternoon, like this. Kathy! Kathy!
Did you call me, Daddy?
Can I speak to you for a minute, please?
I have to practice.
You can practice some other time.
Okay.
Hasn't been near the piano for 3 weeks. Now she's got to do it all in one day.
I'm coming, Daddy.
Doesn't know which end of a piano is up anyway. Don't know why she keeps on taking lessons. Except maybe to get even with the teacher.
That's my new piece, Daddy. Isn't it pretty?
Yes, it's beautiful. Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Why don't you go somewhere?
I don't know any place to go.
Find your brother and help him.
You send him downtown with Betty.
Oh. Well, why don't you go shopping with Mommy?
She isn't going shopping. She's going to play bridge in the living room.
Why don't you go next door to the Davises? You can play with Patty.
We don't know what to play.
Well, play games. Must be dozens of games you can play.
Like what?
Actress. You and Patty can act out stories. I used to do it all the time when I was a little boy.
You played actress?
I acted out stories. Like Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman, Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates.
Daddy.
Yes, Kathy?
If you want to get rid of me, why don't you say so?
I want to get rid of you.
Okay, I'll go over to Patty's.
Thank you very much.
Parents, if they want to get rid of you, why don't they say so?
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't have gotten a puppy instead. Now what happened to the darn thing? Margaret!
What is it, Jim?
Where's that detective magazine I was reading?
Which detective magazine?
The one Hector Smith wanted to borrow.
You loaned it to Hector Smith.
But I wasn't through with it. Margaret!
I have to answer the door.
Fine bunch of friends I have. Don't even wait until you're finished with a magazine before... Margaret!
Just a minute, Jim.
Yoo-hoo, Jim. Hello?
Oh, no. If she comes up here, so help me, I'll kill myself.
What do you want, dear?
Nothing, not a thing. Make believe you never even heard of me.
Jim, you poor thing.
Hold your hats, kids. Here we go again.
Why, I hadn't the faintest idea you didn't feel well. But my, you certainly do.
I certainly do what?
What?
What do I certainly do?
You look awful, and I think it's just a shame.
Well, I haven't shaved today, Ellen, and I...
All right, come on, let's get out of bed. Come on.
What?
Get out of bed. How am I going to help you if you just lie there?
Helen.
And don't think I can't, too. Did you ever meet George's Aunt Mildred?
No, but if you...
She was at death's door. That's what she was. At death's door. And I pulled her through.
The door.
I certainly did.
Helen, if you'll just go downstairs with the rest of the girls.
Jim, will you please stop arguing with me? Now go into the bathroom and stand in the tub.
Stand in the tub? What for?
Oh, man, they're all alike. George keeps saying the same thing. What for? What for?
And what do you tell him?
Well, it's perfectly simple. I have the most wonderful cold pills, but you have to take them in warm water.
Oh.
I've got to stand in the tub.
Well, you certainly don't want to get water all over the floor, do you?
Margaret!
Helen, we're all waiting for you, and Dorothy...
Come along, Jim. Upsy-daisy.
Helen, please.
You're fighting me.
Helen, Margaret was speaking to you.
She was?
Helen.
Hello, Margaret. It's nice seeing you, dear.
Honey.
Why, Jim.
Not you, Helen. I was talking to Margaret.
Well, I should hope so.
Helen, Dorothy and Lucille are waiting, and if we're going to play...
Hey, what's going on up there?
We'll be right down, Dorothy.
I'm not going to move, Margaret, but not a foot.
Helen.
This poor boy lying helpless and alone.
Helen.
Looking to us for comfort and sympathy.
Helen, I...
How can we leave him friendless? And did you say something, Jim?
I just want to rest, Helen. So why don't you and...
Margaret, you better come downstairs. I think Lucille's getting ready to blow a gasket. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Dorothy.
Helen, won't you please...
What's the matter, Jim? You got a cold?
No, I feel fine. As a matter of fact...
Isn't he brave, Dorothy? He wants to fight it all alone, like a mother lion having her babies in the jungle.
Margaret, where do you keep the hot water bottle?
Dorothy, if you'll just forget about me...
I'm sure Jim will be much happier...
A turnover, Jim.
What?
We'll put it right in the middle of his back, get it good and hot, and then when he can't stand the pain for another second...
Dorothy, if you'll just help me get him into the bathtub.
Helen!
She wants me to stand up, Margaret, that's all.
You wouldn't have any camphor oil, would you? We could rub that on his neck and then wrap it with
flannel. I've been giving these same pills to George for years, week after week, day after day. And then...
Dorothy, will you please go down and tell Lucille?
We'll be right down, Lou.
George had four colds in one weekend. If it hadn't been for these pills,
I don't want any pills.
Of course he doesn't. Turn over, Jim.
And I don't want any camphor oil.
Isn't he stubborn? Turn over, Jim.
Margaret, will you please ask them to leave me alone?
Helen.
We're only trying to help you, Jim.
Get over on the other side of the bed, Helen. We'll flip him.
Dorothy, please.
Well, who's winning?
Oh, Lucille, I'm awfully sorry.
Lou, you remember how sick my Jimmy was
last week?
Why
don't you leave the poor man alone?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Helen.
I'm not being ridiculous. All he needs is plenty of hot water and lemon juice.
Lemon juice? For a cold?
Margaret.
Girls, if you'll just...
Look at this, Margaret. It says right here on the bottle. Dr. Scholl... Oh, that's the wrong bottle.
Well, my mother raised six children, and she never gave us anything but hot water and lemon juice.
Well, it just happens that I was the head of the Red Cross bandage wrappers. And if you're going back to an old-fashioned thing like hot water and lemon juice...
Old-fashioned?
Margaret.
I've seen some of the shirts you bought for Sam, and if that's your idea of new fashion...
I had that bottle right in my purse.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call your husband a fashion plate.
If you'll just go downstairs...
Why, he's thrown away better clothes than your husband's wearing right now.
Maybe he throws them, but he doesn't throw them far.
Girls, if we're going to play bridge...
Bridge?
Well, I wouldn't play bridge with her if my life depended on it.
You'd better not, the way you play.
Well, I'm sorry, Margaret, but I've just developed the worst headache.
Well, if you're leaving on my account, you needn't bother.
Girls, I'm sure we can straighten this whole thing out if you'll only listen to me for a minute.
Helen.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Helen. Isn't there someplace else you'd rather go?
I don't think so. Did you have anything in mind?
Well, wouldn't you like to go home or someplace?
Oh, good gracious, no. It's always so noisy over there. And here it's so peaceful and quiet.
Margaret!
What is it, Jim?
Call Helen.
Helen!
Just a minute, dear. I'm sorry, Jim, but I'll have to leave you. Margaret's calling me.
That's all right, Helen. I understand.
Take good care of your cold, dear.
I will. Goodbye, Helen.
Did you call me, Jim?
No, I... just said goodbye.
Ah, sweet.
I don't know. I'm good to my children. I'm kind to animals. I help more old ladies across the street than any 10 men in Springfield. Not again. Kathy!
Do you want me, Daddy?
Why aren't you at Patty Davis's?
We were acting out the night before Christmas, and she got stuck in the chimney.
Kathy, stop it!
Jim, I told her to practice. She hasn't practiced all week. She's going to take a lesson on Monday. And listening to a piano isn't going to give you a cold.
Well, tell her to keep her foot off the pedal.
Okay, Daddy.
She doesn't care how it sounds, just as long as it's loud.
Oh, Father, it's heavenly. It's the most heavenly dress you've ever seen.
Fine. Put the change on the dresser.
It's blue, the dreamiest, creamiest blue.
Put the change on the dresser.
Bud borrowed $2, but he said you could take it out of his allowance.
Put the change... What?
Well, they were having a sale on chemistry sets.
Where is he?
In the playroom.
Bud!
But Father, he said...
Bud! No, not twice. Not twice in one day. Margaret! Margaret!
Beyond the last horizon's rim, beyond adventure's farthest quest, somewhere they rise, serene and dim, the happy, happy hills of rest. Each weekend, is this your problem? On your grocer's shelves, so many different kinds of coffee. And how are you to choose the one brand that gives you the most in flavor for your money? Now, that's something the world's greatest coffee expert can help you find. So check with your husband. He's the expert we mean. From your grocer's, bring home that famous blue tin with the big white cup and drop. Serve Maxwell House coffee to your husband. When he smiles and says, "Best coffee I ever tasted," you'll know Maxwell House has the most in flavor. You'll know it's your best coffee buy. Start enjoying Maxwell House coffee tomorrow. And count all the truly good cups of coffee you get from each pound. We think you'll be convinced. You get more for your money with Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
It's Monday now, and in the Springfield office of the Cavalier Life and Casualty Company, the manager, one James Anderson Sr., is diligently engaged with the daily grind. Thusly.
What did I say, Ms. Tavis?
The enclosed form covers application for damages to glass and general furnishings on premises of the insured. While the amount may seem rather high...
No, cross that last part out.
All right.
The estimate must be considered to be extremely conservative... in view of the fact that damage was caused by two separate and distinct explosions. Please let me, blah, blah, blah. You know how to finish it.
I think so.
What's next?
There's a memo from Mr. Buckley.
I don't know. I can't even think straight.
Mr. Anderson.
Hmm?
Of course, it's none of my business, but I don't think you should have come in today.
No.
What you ought to do is go home and spend a nice, quiet day in bed.
If you have trouble getting the youngsters to eat a hot cereal these cold mornings, just tell them how Hopalong Cassidy goes for hot post-wheat meal. Hot Post Wheat Meal has such a wonderful nut-like flavor, and it's chock full of solid whole wheat nourishment, the kind that Hoppy goes for and your youngsters need. Hot Post Wheat Meal cooks in just 3.5 minutes. And be sure to tell the kids it's Hoppy's favorite hot cereal, Hot Post Wheat Meal. You'll see, you'll agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate. Join
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Barkey and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Forman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Exciting Dragnet is next. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
I'm going to venture to guess that the television show is a little better than the radio show. The radio shows, I've heard a lot of Father Knows Best radio shows, and they're funny and they're good and everything, but the TV show was really good.
Well, what I used to enjoy it, of course, I was a child at that point.
Well, you probably were watching reruns.
I'm sure I was, but still, as a child, I enjoyed it. These are a little dated. They can be a little corny, but still bring you back to, the golden age of radio.
Yeah, the television show began in 1954. Yeah, so...
No, I know, but I do remember watching that show.
In
the 60s.
I remember watching. And then remember Marcus Welby, MD?
Sure, I do.
That was a good show with Robert Young and James Brolin. Wasn't it James Brolin? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. And then I remember Robert Young doing Maxwell House coffee commercials.
Sure.
So he had a long association with Maxwell House because here he is, sponsor
promoting
of the radio show.
Yeah.
All right, that was Father Knows Best, December 14th, 1950. Robert Young and all the gang is heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. I just checked, Lisa. There are still some openings. We haven't had 50 people yet tonight, so you can join the Classic Radio Club for only $1 the first month. You'll get 5 CDs with 10 classic radio shows for $1 plus shipping and handling, or you can get the 10 shows digitally sent to you via email for only $1 and no shipping and handling, but you do have to use the promo code radio at checkout, but still some room for people to join.
Yep, don't wait.
Yeah, and are you enjoying your Classic Radio Club CDs that get mailed to you?
I do. I have hosts of CDs that I've gotten from you, and I appreciate them. That's why I'm here listening to more and more and more Classic Radio.
You know, Rob Feldman, I was talking to our webmaster the other day, and he called me up, and he's like, I have a great idea. I said, what? He's like, you should talk about having listening parties with these. Like, join the Classic Radio Club, get these CDs sent to you, and then the people that get these, the club members, could have friends over and listen to the classic radio shows, and maybe each person brings some food,
and then we show up.
Well, we might. If we got invited, yeah. If there's free food,
You'd be there.
I'm there, yeah.
Okay, so on that note, it reminds me of, I don't think you watch The Bachelor.
No.
Because it just starts. But I'm just saying they have these bachelor home viewing parties.
Oh.
And they have a whole group of people in somebody's home, and they've got a camera in there, and they'll have an old bachelor or an old couple or somebody who did really well on one of the Bachelor seasons in with these group of people to watch the new season. So it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So on
well,
the same vein.
To me, that's
we're
not
almost
as exciting.
Like The Bachelor.
No, but if you were a Classic Radio Club member, right, you get the 5 CDs, and now there's 10 shows. You could actually have, you can listen to, let's say, 2 or 3 shows, have people come over. And
do they have to serve food?
I think each person, if they're coming over to your house, should bring something. Right?
Right.
To eat.
Right.
And then you have some Coca-Cola, stuff like that.
I'd bring a newscast.
That would be important.
But Roger, look, if I invited you over to listen to classic radio, would you come over?
No.
Oh, sure I would.
Sure.
Are you kidding?
Roger,
do you know where he lives,
radio.
Roger?
Yes, I would. And I'd bring something.
Yeah. Are you sure? He'd because he's out in Kishinev.
Well, you know, he would break up the party with, you know, he'd have to go brush his teeth and have to, you know, that kind
take
of stuff.
Take a bubble bath.
Listen, I only brush my teeth like about five times a day. That's not that much.
Well, but and you would time it for the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, though, it's not a bad idea to have the have a listening party, right? Have people over, bring food.
I think
food,
it would be fun, especially
to classic radio shows.
Especially if you have people who haven't heard the stuff before.
Yeah. I think it'd be, Rob had a, I said, that's a great idea, Rob.
You should do it, Carl. You should have a listening party.
I should have a listening
your
party.
House and invite people.
Okay.
I know when his next one is.
When is
who's
it?
Next what?
His next listening party. Well. Right after my news.
That's true, because we're going to play...
Who's coming up next?
Murder at
pizza?
Midnight.
Ooh.
Murder at Midnight is up
ooh, that's
next.
A great one.
That
yeah,
I know. Good.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. 10 minutes after 1 in the morning here on Sunday morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. Hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. In this hour, Murder at Midnight. Scary radio show from 1947. Before we do that, though, it's time to play our game. Cat's Pride, is it real or is it ridiculous? Who is the celebrity?
Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
Great
oh,
actress.
Yeah. All right, great. And the number to call, 312-981-7200. What caller would you like?
Caller 4, and we'll be giving away a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Call now, 312-981-7200. We'll play the game live on the air after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
Oh, we have Tom on the line to play with us. Hi, Tom.
Hey,
how are you?
Okay.
Good. Glad you're with us. We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with Judi Dench. Carl, help him out.
I'll try.
All right, Tom, here we go. Judi Dench owns a horse named Smokey Okey. Is that real or ridiculous?
Smokey Okey?
I say that's real.
Real? I'm going to go with Tom.
It is real.
All right.
She loves horseback riding. Smokey Okey. All right. She received a star on the Walk of Fame in 2000.
I'd say that's ridiculous.
Hmm. I'm going to say real.
It's ridiculous. She actually does not have a star on
here
the Walk
go,
of Fame.
Tom.
So it didn't happen in 2000.
And here's for me.
Tom knows his stuff.
Yeah,
all right, Tom.
I'm sticking with Tom.
She will star as Deuteronomy in the film adaptation of Cats.
Oh, boy. I'll go with ridiculous.
Guys, that sounds so real to me, but I'm going with Tom.
Don't go with Tom on this one, Carl. That is real. In 2019, there will be a film adaptation of Cats, and she will star as Old Deuteronomy. So,
all right, so but Tom got 2 out of 3.
Tom, you're great. You are a winner. You've won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It is hosted by none other than Stacey Keach. They are fantastic. I hope you enjoy it.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you. All right, he's a big winner. Won some Twilight Zone CDs. All right, Lisa, are you ready for Murder at Midnight?
You have to say it like the announcer does.
Murder at Midnight.
Night, 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 night. There you go.
All right, well, it was a mystery horror series, came to ABC Radio in 1946. Raymond Morgan was the host, and he was a former Long Island minister who left the cloth for the excitement of radio. Somebody probably said, hey, want to fill in for somebody over here on the show, pastor? And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll try that. And then he was like,
he's hooked.
That's it. I'm done.
I know that feeling.
I'm done with this clergy thing.
Yep.
And I'm going to be on radio. And he did. He was the host of Murder at Midnight. And this was a New York-based show, so it had all New York actors on it. Lawson Zerbe, Carl Swenson, Lon Clark, Barry Kroger, Raymond Edward Johnson. It was directed by Anton M. Leder. It was a very good series, very scary series. Let's go back to a broadcast date of May 5th, 1947. This is called The Island of the Dead. And the host is Raymond Morgan. Part one now of Murder at Midnight.
Murder at Midnight.
You know you're lying. And you know it won't do you any good. Because this time I'm going to pass judgment. Myself. 15 years. I've been thinking about this. Dreaming about it. My fingers around your throat. Digging into that flabby windpipe of yours. Tighter and tighter. Till you stop struggling and... Yes. And now, I've got a nice grave all ready and waiting for you. Right next to your friend.
Murder. At midnight.
Three graves yawning on a lonely, fog-bound island waiting. For whom? You'll learn the answer in just a moment in tonight's story, The Island of the Dead. And now our story, The Island of the Dead, an original radio play by one of radio's best-known mystery writers, Robert Newman. A story of a dead man who came back. It's a small island, flat and barren, lying in the middle of the river. And it's truly an island of the dead, for it's the city's Potter's Field. It's here that the nameless dead are buried. Those who have no relatives to claim them, and those who are too poor to pay for burial elsewhere. At one end of the island is the pier, where the city launch docks. At the other end of the island, in the midst of the shallow graves, is the squat stone building where the watchman lives. It's 11:30 at night now, and he's sitting in the office, reading a paper and listening to the river sounds when...
Who's there? Who's that? I said, who's there? Who the devil are you? What do you want?
I think that this is where I'm supposed to come.
What do you mean? Hey, wait a minute. Are you the new relief man?
My name is Simon.
I'm Halliday. From now on, lay off that stuff, will you? This place is bad enough without you spooking around, not answering when someone talks to you.
Bad?
The crying bells, you know what the job is, don't you? Receiving the stiffs that they send out. Keeping the records and digging the graves. You'd be all alone. Except for Joe, the guy that runs the launch up at the other end of the island. He only comes out when he has to.
Yes, I know.
Well, I'll go change me shirt and blow. I didn't think they were going to be able to get a relief man until next week. But I'm sure glad you got out here tonight. This place was really starting to get me down. And I'll be out in a couple of minutes. What in thunder are you doing?
Digging. Digging some graves.
I see that. Three of them. What for?
Because they'll be needed before the night is over.
Huh? You mean they called up and told you to get them ready? It's funny. I didn't hear the phone.
No. No one phoned.
Well, then why are you doing it?
I told you. I think they'll be needed.
You think? Look, I'm going right now. I'll be back tomorrow night. Unless I decide not to come back at all.
Wait a minute, Harity. I don't get it. Who are you talking about? And when did I see him?
The new relief man. Just came out about a half hour ago. You must have seen him. This is the only way you can get out to the island.
That's why I don't get it. If anybody did come out to the island, I'd be bound to see him. But no one did. Not tonight.
What? What do you mean?
I mean, I only made one trip out tonight. They didn't have no passengers. At least not live ones. All I brought out was a stiff.
Hello?
Mr. Marsh?
Yes, speaking.
Is this Mr. Alec Marsh, the attorney?
Attorney? Well, I used to be one. I haven't practiced law in over 10 years. Who's this?
This is the watchman of the city cemetery out on Channel Island. I'd appreciate it very much if you'd come out here immediately.
Come out there? In the middle of the night? What for?
To identify a body.
To what? What makes you think that I can identify it?
I have reason to believe that you are one of the few people who can identify it. It's quite urgent. If you take the launch at River Street, I'll meet you at this end. Will you do it?
Well, I don't know. It's a funny business, but... Well, all right. I'll leave right away.
Is it much further to the island?
Nope. You can't see it because of the fog, but it's just right ahead there.
Is this something new? Getting people to go out to the island to identify bodies? Don't they usually do it down at the morgue?
Yeah, mostly, but every once in a while I get some dope after the body's been shipped out to the island.
Well, I don't like it, any part of it. Getting a man out in the middle of the night. This trip, especially with a river like this, not being able to see anything. Just the whistles and the foghorns. And then landing there on the island where... Oh, for 2 cents, I'd go right back with you. Not go ashore at all.
Well, here we are. Just let me make a fast. Okay. Well? You getting off?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. The man that phoned said he'd meet me. I'll go up to the end of the dock. If he's not there, I'll come back.
Okay.
Mr. Marsh?
Yes? Was it you who phoned me?
Yes. Will you follow me, please? This way.
How the dickens can you see where you're going when it's so dark?
You get used to it. Just as you get used to anything. As a matter of fact, it's probably just as well it is so dark.
Why? It couldn't be worse even in daylight, when you can see the graves. But how did you happen to call me on this business anyway?
I told you. Because you're one of the very few people who can be of any help. Weren't you the attorney for the defense in the Sloan case?
Sloan? Sloan? I can't remember. Simon Sloan.
Yes.
I'm not sure. If I was, it was a long time ago.
More than 15 years. But you should remember.
Yes. Yes, I think I was. He was convicted on a charge of murder in the second degree and got 20 years. With time off for good behavior, he's probably out now and... Wait a minute. Is that who you want me to identify? Is he dead?
Here we are. Watch the step going in.
Well, what are you waiting for? Aren't you going to put on the light?
No, not yet.
What was that? The door. You locked the door. What's the idea? What are you trying to do?
That's just so we won't be disturbed.
Disturbed? Well, who's going to disturb us? I insist you put on the light. Open that door immediately.
We were talking about the Sloan case. You admitted that you were the attorney for the defense. Do you feel that you did a good job of defending him?
How do I know? How do you expect me to remember? The fact that he was convicted doesn't mean that it was my fault. Besides, what's that got to do with you?
Did you think that he was guilty?
How do I know what I thought? What difference does it make? He pleaded guilty.
He wasn't guilty. He didn't want to plead guilty. Who made him change his plea?
I did, so what?
Very well. There.
Where it? You. It's you. You're Simon Sloan.
A dead man on the island of the dead. In three waiting graves. As the clock moves steadily towards the witching hour, prepare yourself for murder at midnight.
I'm going to go way, way, way out on a limb here, Lisa. That's an organ.
What organ? What kind of organ?
I think
organ?
It's a Hammond organ.
Hammond organ.
Hammond organ.
Well, if you said it, I'm sure it's correct.
I'm just kind of just winging it, but I think it's a Hammond organ right there. you know, these were more lower budget. The shows in New York, they really almost never had an orchestra. I mean, some of them did, but like the CBS and NBC shows, they had bigger budgets. They had the whole orchestra. The Mutual shows, and this show, I'm trying to think if this show was on Mutual or not, but this was a New York. It was a broadcast out of Mutual, and they would just have like someone on the organ, you know, Boston Blackie, which we heard earlier, just an organ.
But it does set the mood.
Yeah, especially on a horror show, you don't need the whole.
Sense.
You don't need the whole orchestra. On Inner Sanctum, Lights Out, all these. They just had an organ.
No, the mood is
what
great.
The heck? Organ will work.
an organ here, an organ there.
This is called The Island of the Dead. This guy's getting back at everyone who put him in jail. He's killing them off one by one. Raymond Morgan as the host from May 5th, 1947. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Have they found anyone to host the Oscars yet? Because I am available.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do it.
I'm going to just put in that note for that person.
Have
who
they found anyone?
I mean,
I don't think they have anybody yet for the Oscars. Roger, do you know? Does Roger know?
Nobody yet.
Listening.
Nobody yet for the
nope.
Oscars?
Yeah, well, maybe we could change that.
My number is 847.
Keep going. Do you want to host the Oscars? Do you feel that you'd be prepared to host the Oscars? Because how many of those movies have you actually seen?
Very few of
That's
them.
That's what I'm saying.
But I could.
But you are very funny.
I'd watch a trailer on every one of
right.
them.
Right, and you're funny, and you could say one of the six jokes that you know, and you could just kind of rotate.
My lead joke would be the one about the moth.
Right.
And
you could
you
talk
heard
about...
You that one right, Roger?
Uh-oh.
Oh, sure, I did.
Moth one? Yeah,
how you went to school and took up space.
Yeah, I went to school. I took up space.
Right? You could talk about when you brush your teeth at 2:30.
I brush my teeth at 2:30, and I take a bath once a week, whether I need to or not.
See, we just rotate. We've got about six, and we rotate. I think that would work well for the Oscars.
That would kill off about 10 seconds. I think what I don't know for sure. It's not like they're consulting me. But what I've been hearing
Why
is...
Why not?
Are you kidding?
Why
if they haven't
they?
Talked to you, they sure as heck haven't even thought of talking to
they
me.
They need to call you. You would
what
say
are, what
Carl.
Are they call me?
Carl could
That's
do
That's what
it.
I want to know.
I'm not sure that you could do without me.
But
Both
but
of us.
My thinking is that they're not going to have any hosts. They're just going to have the stars.
Yeah.
Come out and different stars introduce different stars.
I think that's what they're going to do. Yeah.
I don't think
do
so, Roger. I think that we like a host to come out and do some a little bit of roasting, a little bit of fun.
Maybe they might have like a cast of someone, you know, like
a
some
cast
show.
Of someone?
The cast of some show come out as the characters and do a routine.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Not a good one. But yeah, thanks,
I would be sleeping
Roger.
Through that. I sleep right. I mean, I normally fall asleep on the Oscars anyway, but
right.
I'd fall asleep.
Well, you
on
fall
that.
Asleep here well, at the radio
I do.
Station.
I definitely
so.
Do.
It's nice you're within an arm shot of him. You can get, you know, jab him right in the arm to wake him up.
Wake up. I didn't have a nap. I didn't have a nap today. Did you,
uh-oh.
Lisa? Did you
I
have
didn't.
A nap? No. Roger, did you get a nap in today?
I had a couple of them.
Right. Roger's got enough for all of
well,
us.
Well, that's why he's got pep in his voice.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa's freaking out because she sent me a picture, and there's two other pictures that appeared out of nowhere. Like, we don't even remember taking these pictures,
well,
right?
I sent what? The same picture to you and Shantae
we
that we just took. Shantae, I don't know, maybe she,
we
I wonder
took,
if she got those.
Here's the thing, Roger. We took
strange.
A picture,
just
right?
Just a few minutes ago.
Using a Snapchat, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
And then I said, all right, send it to me. Yeah. It's a nice picture.
That's yeah. all I have.
Look.
So I sent it to Carl
oh,
and Shantae.
Oh, I think I figured it out.
Okay, what'd you do?
Because you sent it to me and Shantae, right?
I did.
So it came through twice?
So no, maybe this was like a long time ago or something. No, November 25th.
Okay, Carl doesn't delete anything off his phone. He's got things
gotcha.
For 12 years yeah. on his phone.
Why would I delete
so
stuff?
Old photos.
I don't know how to do that.
The trouble he just had trying to figure out where these strange pictures
delete,
came from.
Delete things.
Yeah, he's wow. having a little trouble.
A little?
He lost his rim shot tonight too.
Oh, he
so,
did.
You know,
I don't have a rim shot.
Really rough
but
around here.
I was flipping. I was flipping my green marker up in the air and catching it behind my back. I did it like 5 times in a row, and Lisa was pretty impressed by that, Roger. So if we want to do a Facebook Live of me flipping
yeah,
a
yeah, that
pen,
would be a very
catching it behind my back 5 times
video.
In a row.
That would
if anybody wants to watch
of
that,
millions of people
it will. Maybe that'll get me.
I suggested he do a backflip because he claims to be able to do
I
one.
I can.
And I would video I that.
Can. But
oh,
I,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You video it while I call 911.
Exactly.
I think the 5 flips of my marker behind my back could get me the gig to do the Oscars. I do.
Really?
You really
I think
so.
It could get me.
Yeah, it might. That and your sense
all
of
agree,
humor.
Please raise your hand.
And your jokes are so funny, so that combination is ideal.
I get. And listen, I told Ernie my moth joke earlier. He mm-hmm. cracked up. He thought it was hilarious.
That's, well, he's the only one here that hadn't heard it.
Yeah, right. 1,000 times.
I'm like, hey, fresh meat.
Yeah.
You know, I saw him. I'm like, hey. Yeah.
It won't take long. He'll be in the camp with the rest of us.
Yeah. All right. Wow. We're listening to a scary. And this has a really grisly ending on this, Roger, so listen very closely.
Oh, I'm riveted.
So if you're faint of heart, weak of heart, beware, it has a grisly ending. Here's the conclusion to Murder at Midnight.
And now, to go on with the story of the Island of the Dead. It's just a moment later. There is silence in the small bare room as Marsh stares at the strange figure that stands opposite him. Then slowly, his face pale and drawn, he sinks into a chair.
You shouldn't have done this to me. I told you I'm not well. I've got a bad heart.
Why did you do what you did to me? Why did you make me change my plea to guilty?
I had to.
Why?
Because Donna, the district attorney, made me. He wanted a conviction to build up his record. And he had something on me. An attempted bribery in another case. What are you going to do to me? I've got to get away from here. I'm a sick man, I tell you.
I'm not going to do anything to you. You can go now. If you can. There. The door's open.
Why are you looking at me like that? You think I can't make it, don't you? And that's why you're letting me go. Well, I'll show you. I'll show you. I just have to take it easy and...
No, I didn't think you would make it. That is why I'm not angry at you. Now I have a place for you. Right outside here. For you. And for some others, too.
Psst.
Mr. Donner?
Yes, who's this?
This is the watchman at the city cemetery out on Channel Island. We have a body out here that we'd very much like you to look at.
A body? What for?
We think that possibly you may be able to identify it.
And what makes you think that?
Well, after all, you were district attorney for several years.
What? Why, I haven't been DA for... What's that got to do with it?
It may have a great deal to do with it. Will you come? The launch leaves from the foot of River Street.
Yes, I know. Something very strange about this, but... All right, I'll come. Will there be someone to meet me at the other end?
Yes, Mr. Donner. I'll meet you. I'll be waiting for you.
Is it usual to have someone try and identify a body when it's already in a grave?
Well, no, it's very unusual. But this was a rather special case. I'm sorry I haven't any flashlight, but I do have a candle. There.
Good Lord.
Then you do know him?
Yes, I know him. His name is Marsh, Alec Marsh. He was disbarred about 10 years ago. When did he die?
About an hour ago.
But that's impossible. He couldn't have gotten here so quickly.
Not if he was dead. But when he came here, he was still alive.
I don't understand. Why should he have come out here in the first place?
Well, because I phoned him. I asked him to come out. Just as I asked you to come out. You see, I wanted to talk to him about this Simon Sloan case.
The Sloan case, but... What? How? Wait a minute. Lift that candle up. You're Sloan.
Yes, Donner. I'm Sloan. What's left of him after 15 years in jail? You're the man who sent me there when you knew I wasn't guilty.
You can't blame me for that. After all, it was my job to prosecute. And when I did find out the truth...
You did find it out, eh?
When I did, it was too late. You'd already been convicted and sent up, and I've got to get away from here.
No, not yet. There are a few more things you're going to tell me first. How did you find out I wasn't guilty?
The detective in the case told me. A chap named Richards. Bill Richards.
Richards. Yes, it would be Richards. But afterwards, when you found out the truth, you could have ordered a new trial and gotten me out. But you didn't. You let me stay there and rot.
No, I couldn't. It was just Richards' work. He said he wouldn't testify.
You're lying, Donna. You know you're lying. And you know it won't do you any good. Because this time I'm going to pass judgment. Myself. Oh. 15 years. I've been thinking about this. Dreaming about it. My fingers around your throat. Digging into that flabby windpipe of yours. Tighter. And tighter. Until you stop struggling and... Yes. Now I've got a nice grave. All ready and waiting for you. Over here, right next to Marsh. And one more. For our friend, Richard.
Shall we get out?
Yes. Now, you wait right here for us, Joe.
As soon as it's you, Harrity, I will. But I sure have had my belly full. What a night.
Now, look who's talking. Me, I've got to go traipsing all over this bloody island just because your friend here comes into the station house with a story nobody will believe except the captain.
For crying bells, Richards, you think I made it up? What about those two other guys Joe said he brought out here? What about those three graves this guy Simon was digging?
Well, where are they? Did you dream them up, too?
I didn't dream anything up, Richards. They're right over here.
They do look like graves. I got a match here someplace. Let's take a look at them. Good.
Good Lord. There's a body in this one. And in this one here, too.
I see them. This one here looks like... What is Marsh? Alec Marsh. And that's John Donner.
Now am I crazy? Now was I making things up?
Shut up. This guy that came out here, he said his name was Simon?
Yes.
Was he, let's see, he must be about 50, 55 now. Probably looks older. Tall, thin face, gray hair.
That's right, that's him. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. Look, I was ribbing you before, but that man's dangerous. Killer. I'm going to stay here and try and find him. I'll probably need help. You and Joe take the launch back to shore, get hold of the captain, and have him send out 3 or 4 more men. Fast.
Okay, Richard, right away.
Sloan! Sloan! Where are you? I know it's you, and you know you can't get away. Ah, that building. Went in there, huh? Wonder if he's got a gun. Yeah, so see. Stick him up, Sloan. I'll let you have it. Reach, did you hear me?
Yes, Richard. I hear you.
Put on the light.
There isn't any light in here. But I got a candle. Just a second.
So, it really is you. I heard you were out of stir, and I was sure it was as soon as I saw Marsh and Donner out there. You killed them, didn't you?
Yes, I killed them.
This is really funny. I'd like to hear someone now say there isn't such a thing as fate.
Yes, it is funny. I tried to get you on the phone just the way I did Marsh and Donner. But of course I couldn't. Then you come out here on your own.
You thought you'd get me too, huh? Well, that's okay. I tried to get you, and I would have if that jury hadn't gone so patty-waste and given you just 20 years. You know that it was me that framed you, don't you?
Yes, I know it. I just don't know why.
Why? Because I've always hated you, that's why. I was just a flatfoot and you were a gambler pulling in big dough. I never could touch you on the level. That's why I hated you. That's why I framed you. Well, I didn't get you then, 15 years ago. But I've got you now.
Have you, Richard? I guess maybe you ought to look around. See where we are.
Hmm? What do you mean?
We're in the room where they keep the stiffs until they're buried. Kind of an icebox. And if you'll notice, there's no handle on this side of the door. That means there's no way of getting out.
What? Why, you... So what? Someone will be along sooner or later.
Oh, when anyone does, it'll be too late. Because that door is airtight. That means that as soon as we use up the air that's in here now, we're finished. Both of us. And it's starting to get bad already. Feel it?
I mean, you trapped me. You got me in here deliberately. Well, you won't get away with it.
No good, Richards. That won't hurt me. Not any more than I'm hurt already. You see, I'm all gone inside. That's why they released me. I must have passed out in the street last night, and my heart was so bad that they thought I was dead. They sent me out here for burial. But I wasn't dead. I couldn't die until I'd even things up. In the boat, they waited till they put me ashore. Now I've done it. Gotten all three of you.
No. No, no. There must be some way out. The smoke. I can't breathe.
No, Richards. It's getting worse every minute. There's no way out. That candle. That's our life, see? When that goes out, we're finished. And it's starting to flicker. Turn blue already.
worn out. You might just as well lie down and take it quietly, like me. Well, there's just one thing. One little thing. You see, I only dug 3 graves for the 3 of you. Now, someone else will have to dig mine.
And so, as 2 gasping bodies drop to the floor, the mission of Simon Sloan is completed. First, Marsh, then Donner, and finally Richards succumb to
murder at midnight.
Remember to be with us again when death stalks the wicked as the clocks strike 12 for
murder at midnight.
There you have it. Murder at Midnight from May 5th, 1947. Island of the Dead with Raymond Morgan as host. Also in that cast, Maurice Tarplin.